Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Nun Tes, the fifth parak, Hotzielo. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings a brayso regarding how the blood was applied to the Mizbech HaPnimi. Rav Shmuel said, Shnei Kohan Gedon Nishtar B'Mikdash Rishon, two Kohan Gedon remained alive from the days of Bais Rishon. This one said, B'yad Hikapti, with my hand I struck the Mizbech HaZahav, when placing blood on Yom Kippur. And this one said, B'Ragla Hikapti, with my feet I circled it. Each one gave their reason. The one who circled it with his feet explained, Savi de Mizbech Panimi, Kasavi de Mizbech Achitzon. The term around, written in connection to the inner altar, is to be interpreted like the term around, written in connection with the outer altar. Just as the Kohen Gadol walked around the outer altar to apply the blood, so too he walked around the inner altar. The one who circled the Mizbech Panimi with his hand explained, Kuli Mizbech Panimi b'makom chad akeren dechitzon kai. The entire Mizbech HaPnimi takes the space of a single horn of Mizbech Achitzon, which Rashi explains was an amma by an amma. So just as the Kohen Gadol stood in place at any given corner of the Mizbech HaChitzon, so too he stood in place while performing the applications around the entire Mizbech HaPnimi. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis states that after the Kohen Gadol sprinkled the blood on the corners of the Mizbech HaPnimi, he's al tiharo shem Mizbech sheva pamim. He then sprinkled upon the purity of the Mizbech seven times. The Gemara here asks, my tihar, what does the purity of the Mizbech mean? And brings a revised explanation. Rabbi Bar of Shila said, Aguliya de Mizbech, it means upon the exposed top of the Mizbech. Similar to how the term purity is used in the Pasuk, Uka etzma shemayim matohar, and it was like the appearance of the heavens in purity. The term purity refers to a state of clarity. The Mishnah used the word similarly, alluding to the fact that Kohen Gadol was required to clear a section on top of the Mizbech of the coals and ashes left there by the burning of the Ketores, and to sprinkle the blood on the exposed, purified surface. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that the bloods of the offerings would eventually mix in the canal and flow out to Nachal Kidron, where it was sold to gardeners for fertilizer, umoling behen, and one is liable for me'ilah for its unauthorized use, that is, if they don't pay for it. The Gemara brings Malchokas if there's me'ilah midrabanan, and adds that everyone agrees that deraisa there is no me'ilah for sacrificial blood, and brings three sources for this. Ula said that the Pasuk states with regard to sacrificial blood, lechem, I've signed it for you upon the Mizbeach to provide atonement. Shalachem Yehe. The phrase Lachem implies it shall be yours, and there's no prohibition of Me'ilah. A sage from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shimon taught a brisa that said the Pasuk says Lachaper, to provide atonement. Chapar Nasati v'lo Me'ilah. I've assigned the blood for atonement, but not to be subject to Me'ilah. Rabbi Yochanan said the Pasuk states Hu in the Pasuk Ki Adam, Hu benefesh Yechaper. For it's the blood that atones for the soul. This teaches that we've made kapara kalacha kapara. It is in the same category before kapara as after kapara. Just as after kapara it's not subject to me'ilah, so too before kapara it's not subject to me'ilah. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara brings a brayso regarding how the blood was applied to the Mizbech HaPnimi. Rabbi Shmuel said, Shnei Kohen Gadon Nishtar B'Mikdash Rishon. Two Kohen Gadon remained alive from the days of Bais Rishon. This one said, B'yad Hikafti, with my hand I circled the Mizbech HaZahav, when placing blood on Yom Kippur. And this one said, B'ragla Hikafti, with my feet I circled it. Each one gave their reason. The one who circled it with his feet explained, Savi de Mizbech Panimi, Kasavi de Mizbech Achitzon. The term around written in connection with the inner altar is to be interpreted like the term around written in connection with the outer altar. Just as the Kohen Gadol walked around the outer altar to apply the blood, so too he walked around the inner altar. The one who circled the Mizbech Panimi with his hand explained, Kuli Mizbech Panimi b'mak m'chad ekeren dechitzon kai. The entire Mizbech Panimi takes the space of a single horn of the Mizbech Achitzon, which Rashi explains was an amma by an amma. So just as the Kohen Gadol stood in place at any given corner of the Mizbech HaChitzon, so too he stood in place while performing the applications around the entire Mizbech HaPnimi. Pointing to the Mishnah Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis states that after the Kohen Gadol sprinkled the blood on the corners of the Mizbech HaPnimi, he's al tiharo shem Mizbech sheva pamim. He then sprinkled upon the purity of the Mizbech seven times. The Gemara here asks, my tihara, what does purity of the Mizbech mean? It brings a revised explanation of what Rabbi Shila said. Aguliya de Mizbech, it means upon the exposed top of the Mizbech, similar to how the term purity is used in the Pasuk, Uka etzem hashamayim watohar. It was like the appearance of the heavens in purity. The term purity refers to a state of clarity. The Mishnah used the word similarly, alluding to the fact that the Kohen Gadol was required to clear a section on top of the Mizbech of the coals and ashes left there by the burning of the Ketores, and to sprinkle the blood on the exposed, purified surface. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that the bloods of the offerings would eventually mix in the canal and flow out to Nachal Kidron, where it was sold to gardeners for fertilizer, umoling behen, and one is liable for me'ilah for its unauthorized use, that is, if he doesn't pay for it. The Gemara brings a malchokas if there's me'ilah midrabanan, adds that everyone agrees that the rice there is no me'ilah for sacrificial blood, and brings three sources for this. Ula said the Pasuk states with regard to sacrificial blood, lechem, I've signed it to you for upon the Mizbeach to provide atonement. Shalachem Yehe. The phrase lechem implies that it should be yours, and there is no prohibition of me'ilah. A sage from the yeshiva Rabbi Shimon taught a brisa that said the pasuk says l'chaper, to provide atonement. Kapara nesati v'lo me'ila. I've assigned the blood for atonement, but not to be subject to me'ila. Rabbi Yochanan said the pasuk states who in the pasuk ki adam who benefesh yechaper, for it is the blood that atones for the soul. This teaches that lifnei kapara kalacha kapara, it is in the same category before kapara as after kapara. Just as after kapara it's not subject to me'ila, so too before kapara it's not subject to me'ila. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Nun Tes, and this Simur was suggested to us by way of Binyamin Mishal from Boca Raton and Eitan Gavron, who both suggested Nun Tes is a knight in shining armor. So here goes. As the knight walked clumsily around a golden altar, dropping blood on its corners, while looking for a clear place on top for sprinkling, gardeners in knight costumes lined up in the distance to pay for water from a stream flowing with blood. Once again, in slow motion. As the knight, that must be more on Daf Nun Tes. As the knight walked clumsily around the golden altar, dabbing blood on his corners, which reminds the Gemara brings a price regarding how the blood was applied to the Mizbech HaPnimi. Rabbi Shmuel said, two Kohanim Gadolim remained alive from the days of Bais Rishon. This one said, B'yadihi kafti, with my hand I circled the Mizbech HaZahav, when placing blood on it on Yom Kippur. And this one said, B'ragoi kafti, with my feet I circled it. And each one gave their reason. The one who circled it with his feet explained, Savi de Mizbech Pnimi, Kasavi de Mizbech Achitzon. The term around written in connection to the inner altar is to be interpreted like the term around written in connection with the outer altar. So just as the Kohen Gadol walked around the outer altar to apply the blood, so too he walked around the inner altar. The one who circled the Mizbech Pnimi with his hand explained, the entire Mizbech Pnimi takes the space of a single horn of the Mizbech Achitzon, which Rashi explains was an Amma by an Amma. So just as the Kohen Gadol stood in place at any given corner of the Mizbech Achitzon, so too he stood in place while performing the applications around the entire Mizbech HaPnimi. So, as the knight walked clumsily around a golden altar, daubing blood on his corners, while looking for a clear place on top for sprinkling, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Nun Ches Amud Bei states that after the Kohen Gadol sprinkled the blood on the corners of the Mizbech HaPnimi, he saw Tihar Shem Mizbech Shevet Pamim. He then sprinkled upon the purity of the Mizbech 7 times. The Gemara here asks, my Tihar, what does the purity of the Mizbech mean? And brings a revised explanation from Rabbi Rav Shiva said, Aguya de Mizbech means upon the exposed top of the Mizbech, similar to how the term purity is used in the pasuk Ketz Meshamay Motohar, and it was like the appearance of the heavens in purity. The term purity refers to a state of clarity. The Mishnah used the word similarly, alluding to the fact that the Kohen Gadol was required to clear a section on top of the Mizbech of the coals and ashes left there by the burning of the Ketores, and to sprinkle the blood on the exposed, purified surface. So as the knight walked clumsily around a golden altar, daubing blood on his corners, while looking for a clear place on top for sprinkling, gardeners in night costumes lined up in the distance to pay for water from a stream flowing with blood, which reminds us. The Mishnah says that the bloods of the offerings would eventually mix in the canal and flow out to Nachal Kidron, where it was sold to gardeners for fertilizer, umoling ban, and one is liable for me'ila for its unauthorized use. The Gemara brings a malchokas, if there is me'ila derabanan, and adds that everyone agrees that the rites, there is no me'ila for sacrificial blood, and brings 3 sources. Ula said that the pasuk states with regard to sacrificial blood, lachem, I've signed it for you upon the altar to provide atonement, shalachem yehe. The phrase lachem implies that it should be yours and that there is no prohibition of me'ila. A sage from the yeshiva Rabbi Shimon taught a brisa that said the pasuk says lachaper, to provide atonement, I've assigned the blood for atonement, but not to be subject to me'ila. And Rabbi Yochanan said the pasuk states who? In the pasuk ki adam hu benefesh yechaper, for it's the blood that atones for the soul. This teaches that lifnei kapara kalacha kapara, it is in the same category before kapara as after kapara. Just as after kapara it's not subject to me'ila, so too before kapara is not subject to me'ila. And the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. So once again, as the knight walked clumsily around a golden altar, dropping blood on his corners, while looking for a clear place on top for sprinkling, gardeners in night costumes lined up in the distance to pay for water from a stream flowing with blood. All right, now it's time for a 4-blah-back chazara. Daf Nun Hey, so the Simur Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The children learning about speed limit signs, that must be more on Daf Nun Hey. The children learning about speed limit signs who were allowed to throw red water balloons towards the sign, but not hit it, which reminds the Bryce was taught regarding the Kohen Gadol sprinkling the bloods in the Kodesh Kodashim, that when he does Hazah one time above, he does not do Hazah on the Kaporis so that the blood will touch its top, but only opposite the thickness of the Kaporis without the drops of blood actually coming in contact with it. The Gemara asks for the source that the first sprinklings of the bull blood and goat blood are not aimed to come in contact with the top of the Kaporis, but are merely sprinkled upwards. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said in the name of Ravi Zera that the pasuk states regarding the blood of the goat, Behiza osal kaporis v'fnei kaporis, and he shall sprinkle it upon the kaporis, meaning above, and in front of the kaporis, meaning below. Since the reference to below is not necessary, given that it can be learned out from the law below from the blood of the bull, we can use the word below to learn a hekesh of all to lifnei. from the sprinklings upon the Kippurahs to the sprinklings in front of the Kippurahs, just as the sprinklings done before the Kippurahs don't reach the Kippurahs, so too the sprinkling above doesn't reach the Kippurahs. So the children learning about speed limit signs, who are allowed to throw red water balloons towards the sign but not hit it, while counting out loud with concentration. Which reminds me, we learned from the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, so when the Kohen Gadol counted the Hazaz, Hazar Rishon and Tzricha Minyan Im Kol Achaz V'Achaz, the first sprinkling, meaning the one directed upward, must be counted along with each and every one of the successive Hazaz, the seven directed downward. Rabbi Elazar said the reason is, Shul Yitab Hazaz, so that he will not err in the counting of the sprinklings. Rashi explains that by counting the first sprinkling with each of the seven, the Kohen Gadol gains a moment to concentrate between each of the seven countings, which prevents him from inadvertently skipping or repeating a number. Rabbi Yochanan said that the reason is based on the pasuk, "V'lifnei ha-kippurahs yazeh," and in front of the kippurahs he shall sprinkle. Since there was no need to state yazeh, since sprinkling was mentioned early in the pasuk, it's coming to teach that the first hazah must be counted with each of the next seven. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if someone did not count the first one each time, but didn't err in the hazahs, he has not fulfilled his chiyub and must repeat the hazahs. So the children learning about speed limit signs, who are allowed to throw red water balloons towards a sign but not hit it, while counting out loud with concentration, were told the true story of an owner of a obligatory kinim who was killed in a speeding accident before his birds were offered. Which reminds us, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was only a single stand to hold the containers of blood for after the hazahs. The Gemara brings a related ruling from a Braisa that states that Rabbi Yehuda says that there were no shofaros, no collection boxes in the hazara for the obligatory kinim because of the danger of intermixing the chattas with the ola. The Gemara asks what is meant by the danger of intermixing, and after rejecting the initial interpretations, concludes the decree was enacted because of chattas shemesu ba'alei avadai, the possibility of intermixing a chattas whose owner has certainly died. If he dies before the contents of the box are offered, all the mice in the box will be rendered invalid.
Daf Nun Vav. So the Simper Daf Nun Vav is the Shusher and Shul going nu nu. So here goes.
The Shusher and Shul said nu nu. Shusher and Shul going nu nu. That must mean we're on Daf Nun Vav. The Shusher and Shul said nu nu as he was about to make kish on kusi wine purchased Erev Shabbos, which reminds us that on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, the Gemara said that in the case where the owner of a chattas bird has certainly died, the reason of Yehuda does not permit designated for zuzim, which is the price of a bird, to be the money of the dead owner, and throwing them into the water and letting the other zuzim in the collection box be permissible, is that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brayer. The Gemara asks, where is it known that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a brayer, and brings a case in a brayer where one purchased wine from Kusim on Erev Shabbos before dark, and he didn't have the kelim to which to pour the necessary truma and maisa portions. Rabbi Meir permits one to rely on brayer to designate the trumas and maisas now and separate them later, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon prohibit it from drinking the wine until the trumas and maisas have been separated. The Gemara rejects this proof, bringing their words at the end of the brayer, which state that they said to Rabbi Meir, are you not moted that wineskin might split open and the wine will spill, and he will have been found retroactively to having drunk tevel? It's clear from here that their position is not based on the rejection of Brera. So the Shusher and Shul said, nu nu, as he was about to make Kiddush on Kusi wine, purchased Erev Shabbos, got so distracted when news came the Chacham had arrived in the West before Shabbos, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a proof that Reb Yehuda does not hold a Brera from a Braisa taught by Ayo regarding making two conditional Erev and when one does not know in which direction the Chacham is coming from on Shabbos. Yehuda says, "Ein on masna al shnei dvarim ke'echad, a person may not make stipulations concerning two things, two chachamim, simultaneously, but only concerning a single chacham regarding whom he may say that if the chacham comes to the east, his erev is to the east, and if he comes to the west, his erev is to the west." Now, when it was asked, Rabbi Yehuda permits the two erevin in the case of a single chacham, if he doesn't hold a brera, Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Shkvar ba chacham." The case of the single chacham is an instance in which he had already arrived before Shabbos. Rashi explains that the person making the erev was simply unaware of his location. From the onset of Shabbos, he certainly wants the Erev, which is towards the Chacham's location. Therefore, from the moment that he makes the two Erevin, one of them is fully valid. When he learns the Chacham's location on Shabbos, the revelation is merely informing him of what had been determined before. There is no need to involve the use of Brera. So the Shusher and Shul, who said, nu nu, as he was about to make Kiddush on Kusi wine purchased Erev Shabbos, got so distracted when news came the Chacham had arrived in the West before Shabbos, that he accidentally put the coast down on the plate marked for Havdalah, instead of the one marked for Kiddush. Which reminds us, we learned earlier that Reb Yehuda permits only one stand to be used for the blood out of concern that with two stands, the Kohen Gadol might confuse the bloods and take the wrong one. They were asked why Reb Yehuda does not permit taking two gold stands or writing upon each one, which one is for the bull's blood and which one's for the goat's blood. After all, we see Reb Yehuda regards writing on the various collection boxes is a sufficient safeguard against confusing them. The Gemara answers Reb Yehuda's concern, Mishum Chosh the Kohen Gadol Ravadaiti, that due to the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, he'll not bear in mind to check the labels on the stands.
Daf Nun Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Nun Zayin is a nose, and we use Pinocchio's nose. So here goes. The red Pinocchio, Pinocchio, that must be one Duff Nun Zine, nose. The red Pinocchio hanging in front of a curtain with blood splattered on it, which reminds us of Bryce taught that when the Kongado does huzzah, he does not do huzzah on the parochas, but only opposite the parochas without the drops of blood actually coming in contact with it. Rabbi Lezer Bered Rabbi Yossi said, Anir Isia Baromi, I saw the parochas in Rome, and there were many drops of blood of the part in Sira of Yom Kippur. Clearly, the blood was meant to reach the parochas. The Gemara questioned his proof, suggesting that perhaps he saw the blood of the Parlam Davar, or the Sira of Odazora, and answered that he recognized the correct blood because he saw they had been done in sequence, one above and seven progressively lower. So the red Pinocchio hanging in front of a curtain with blood splattered on it had been dipped in a bucket full of bull and goat blood that was accidentally mixed, which reminds the Gemara, asked, what's to be done if Nisarvalo Dummy Badummy, the blood of the bull becomes mixed with the blood of the goat before any sprinklings are performed? Rava said, the Kohen Gadol places the mixture one time above and seven times below, and this is sufficient for both applications. When Rabbi Yirmiyah heard this teaching, he said, Bavrai Tibshai, these foolish Babylonians, it's because they dwell in a dark land that they state murky teachings. According to Rava, this means the Kohen Gadol applies the above sprinkling of the Seir before he applies the below sprinkling of the par. And the Torah stated, the Kila Mechaper is a Kodesh, and he shall complete the Kapar for the Kodesh, from which we can infer, Kaladama par, but achakal kaladama seir. Complete the kapar of the blood of the par, and afterwards complete the kapar of the blood of the seir. Rather, the Kohen Gadol first places the mixture one time above and seven times below for the par obligation, and then does the same for the seir. So, the red Pinocchio hanging in front of a curtain with blood splattered on it had been dipped in a bucket full of bull and goat blood that was accidentally mixed and placed right next to a golden altar that just received its once-a-year blood application, which reminds us. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Beis stated that before doing the blood applications on the Mizbach HaZahav, the Kohen Gadol poured the blood of the bull into the blood of the goat. The Gemara seeks to identify the tone of our Mishnah and concludes it's Rabbi Yoshi, based on a braisa where he says that the blood should be mixed, and Rabbi Yonason says they should be applied separately. Rabbi Yoshi has said to him, does the Torah not state that Aaron shall perform kapara upon its horns, Achas B'Shana, once a year, implying that only one set of applications is made from both bloods? Rabbi Yonason said to him, but does the Torah not state, and you should take Medam HaPar and Medam HaSir from the blood of the Par and from the blood of the Sir and place it on the horns of the Mizbech, implying they should be placed separately? If so, why does the Torah state Achas Mishana one time a year? To teach you that there's one application for the Par and not two, and one application for the Seir and not two. Daf Nun Ches, so the Simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg the Zookeeper. So here goes. Noach Goldberg the Zookeeper, that must be one Daf Nun Ches. Noach Goldberg the zookeeper always put his feeding bowls within feeding bowls, which reminds us, Rami Bar Kama asked Rav Chista, what's the lach of a Kohen place a mizrak, a receiving bowl, inside another mizrak, and receive the blood of a carbon in it? Do we say, min b'mino chotzetz or eino chotzetz? So after rejecting one proof that it does not, one proof that it does, the Gemara presents an alternative version of Rami Bar Kama's question, derech sheres b'kach or ein derech sheres b'kach? Is it considered a proper manner of service to do so, to receive the blood in a bowl within a bowl or not? The Gemara answered from a braisa taught in Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that the Torah states, as kol kli yasharis asher yashar subam b'kodesh, and they should take all the service vessels they use for service in the holy place. The pasuk speaks of shnei kelim b'sheros achas, two kelim and one service, implying that two kelim may be used for one service. So Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, who always put his feeding bowls within feeding bowls, often dreamed of becoming Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, doing Hazan the Parochas while standing between it and the Mizbach HaZahav. Which reminds, the next mission describes the Avodah the Kohen Gadol did on the Mizbach HaZahav after concluding the sprinkling on the Parochas. The Pasuk states, V'yatz al Mizbech HaShul Yifnei Hashem, he shall go out to the Mizbech that is before Hashem. Zeh Mizbach HaZahav, this refers to the Golden Altar. The Gemara brings a braisa that taught, what is the Torah teaching when it says, V'yatz al Mizbech, the Kohen Gadol shall go out to the Mizbech? So Rabbi Nechemiah says, L'fishim etzinu b'par habal kol mitzvah, since we find that the Kohen Gadol's bull chat is brought for inadvertently committing a sin that is punishable by Karis as a result of his own incorrect halachic ruling, that at the moment the Kohen Gadol does hazad towards the parochas, he stands past the Mizbech, between the Mizbech and the entrance to the Heichal, it might have been thought that here too he stands past the Mizbech. The pasuk concerning the Yom Kippur offering therefore states, B'yatze el ha-mizbech, he should go out to the Mizbech, from which we infer that previously when doing Hazah on the Parochas, he was standing lifnim min ha-mizbech, inwards from the Mizbech, between the Mizbech and the Parochas. So Noach Goldberg the zookeeper, who always put his feeding bowls within feeding bowls, often dreamed of becoming Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, doing Hazah on the Parochas while standing between it and the Mizbech HaZahav, and then walking past the Mizbech before dumping blood on it. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings up Braisa with Malchus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili regarding the sequence the Kohen Gadol used to daub blood on each of the four corners of the Mizbach HaZahav. The Gemara notes the Kliyama Miha Bahau Karen de Pagabarashal Avid, Everyone agrees that the corner which the Kohen Gadol first encounters as he walks towards the Mizbech is not the one he does the first application of blood on. Rashi explains that he first encounters a western corner. So what's the reason for this? Shmuel answered that the Pasuk states, "V'yatzeh al ha-Mizbech," that he should go out to the altar. This implies he should not make any blood applications at all, ad nafik mekulin Mizbech, until he passes the entire length of the Mizbech. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daftu malchus is between Rava and Rabbi Yirmiyahu regarding what is done when the blood of the bull and the goat become mixed before any hazos were done? That's on daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which daftu one that the tiara of the Mizbech was a clear spot of ashes and contorts with a kohen gadol sprinkled dam? That's on daf Nun Tes. Good. Number 3. Which daftu one the kohen gadol walked past the Mizbech is up before daubing his corners based on the pasuk v'yatzeh al ha-Mizbech? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn the Kohen Gadol stands between the Parochas and the Mizbech HaZahav and does Hazah on the Parochas? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn the Kohen Gadol counts Achas V'Achas to increase his concentration so he doesn't skip or repeat a count? That's on daf Nun Hey. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn the stone in the Kodesh Kodoshim was named the Evan Shasiyah because the world was founded from it? That's on daf Nun Dalad. Good. Number 7. Which daf in the one could put a mizrak, a receiving bowl, in another one to receive the blood? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 8. Which daf when people would pay for use of the water in the Nachal Kidron that had dam in it so that there was no me'ila? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 9. Which daf malchus Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonos and whether the blood of the bull and the goat are mixed or not before the applications on the Mizbech HaZahav? That's on daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which daf to Malkok is whether the Kohen Gadol circled the Mizbech Panimi or just stood in one spot? That's on daf Nun Tes. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichron. Wishing you a great day and great learning.